AI.
And support for WMNF comes from our members in the Florida Law Group, protecting the rights of the wrongfully injured since 1984. The Florida Law Group is dedicated to creating strong and lasting connections with their clients and our community. More at the floridalawgroup.com. And did you know that WMNF is a nonprofit radio station that's mostly funded by donations from listeners like you? Thanks to our current members, we wouldn't be on the air without you. Our winter pledge drive starts tomorrow morning and goes through the 13th, but you can give today. Donate at WMNF.org or call 813-238-8001. And thanks. And good afternoon. You are listening to WMNF. This is 88.5 FM Community Radio from West Central Florida. Welcome to Executive Session. This is an open forum discussion on the executive branch, your executive branch of your United States government. My name's John Gilmore. I host these sessions each Monday through Thursday at this time. We welcome all viewpoints, all contributions. We require civility in our conversation as we are treating radio as the back fence of America. That is to say, places where, or a place where people, reasonable people, can hash out the issues of the day and walk away enriched, even if they still don't agree. You can join the conversation at 813-239-9663. That will get you in contact with Ms. Jan Simpson. She'll want to know what your first name is, where you're calling from, possibly a word or two about what you have to say. You can reach the studio by email at dj@wmnf.org and by text at 813-433-0885. Be sure and find Executive Session on Facebook and like and follow the page, because there you can see all the links to the material we've been discussing on that day, and you can also join the discussion there. There are occasionally some pretty lively discussions on the Executive Session Facebook page. All right, we're going to start off with a little zinger. This was from James Corden last night, a comment on part of the president's interview with CBS just before the Super Bowl.
Trump gave kind of an odd example of when he might go against his intelligence team. Take a look.
My intelligence people, if they said, in fact, that Iran is a wonderful kindergarten, I disagree with them 100%.
Iran is a wonderful kindergarten. Not a sentence. That's something you say when you're high after the dentist.
All right, a little zinger from James Corden last night. Now, yesterday when we opened the session, we promised you an interesting week. Tonight is the State of the Union address, and you're certainly welcome to make any comments you want about that. The president's inaugural committee has been subpoenaed, and not by the Mueller investigation, but by federal prosecutors in New York. So they want to know, how much money did you get? Where did it go? And who did it come from? And apparently this is an extremely wide-ranging subpoena that includes charges like defrauding the U.S. government. There are prohibitions against foreign persons financing inaugurations. And there is this one guy that whose name I cannot pronounce or will not try to pronounce, that kicked in about $900,000, and apparently that was the source of a what by the New York State prosecutors. Now, this was taken from Twitter last night. This is from the Robert Crown Law Library blog at Stanford Law. And it was posted January 18th, and that's a part of the question for this afternoon. This was posted on January 18th. Quote, following reports that federal officials forcibly separated thousands more migrant children from their families than previously reported. Remember that just a little while back when we were told that all of a sudden there were a whole lot more children taken away from families. There were a whole lot more families separated. Senator Jeff Merkley, a Democrat from Oregon, released a document to NBC News revealing the Trump administration intended to, quote, traumatize children and intentionally create a humanitarian crisis at the border. The December 2017 draft memo, which Merkley shared with NBC News after receiving it from a government whistleblower, shows that Trump administration officials wanted to deport children more quickly by denying them asylum hearings after taking them away from their parents. The memo was shared with high-ranking members of the Department of Homeland Security and the Justice Department before then Attorney General Jeff Sessions officially unveiled the administration's zero-tolerance policy in the spring. Now, here is a brief clip of then Secretary of Homeland Security John Kelly with Wolf Blitzer on March 6th, 2017.
Considering a new initiative that would separate children from their parents if they try to enter the United States illegally.
Let me start by saying I would do almost anything to deter the people from Central America to getting on this very, very dangerous network. Yes, I am considering, in order to deter more movement along this terribly dangerous network, I am considering exactly that. They will be well cared for as we deal with their parents.
That was the Secretary of Homeland Security in a conversation with Wolf Blitzer, stating flatly that the policy they were about to initiate was for the purpose of deterrence. Now we find that the administration considers it nearly impossible and likely not worth the effort to reunite some of those children with their families. Ali Velshi developed a story last night leading to an interview with Lee Gallant, an ACLU lawyer and the deputy director of the ACLU's National Immigration Rights Project.
This Thursday, Democrats on the House Energy and Commerce Committee will hold a hearing entitled Examining the Failures of the Trump Administration's Inhumane Family Separation Policy. It was announced today that the House Judiciary Committee will also hold a hearing on the family separation policy. In a blistering statement, Democrats on that committee said that, quote, there has been little oversight of the role that the Departments of Homeland Security, Justice, and Health and Human Services played in creating and implementing an abhorrent policy that resulted in thousands of children being separated from their parents at the border. It is clear that the departments were either incompetent or grossly negligent in the policy's implementation. It is time for a full accounting of this shameful policy. Today's announcement comes in the wake of a chilling court filing submitted late Friday by the Trump administration. According to that filing, the administration now questions whether it is even possible to find all the migrant children who have been separated from their parents or guardians at the U.S.-Mexico border. In addition, the administration does not dispute an inspector general report which says that thousands more migrant children may have been separated beyond the 2,700 children who were removed under the Trump administration's zero tolerance policy in 2018. In the court documents, a top official with Health and Human Services says that even if tracking down the separated children were, quote, within the realm of the possible, her office does not have the resources to do it. Perhaps even more jarring, the Trump administration further argues that removing these children from sponsor homes to rejoin their parents would, quote, present grave welfare concerns, saying that such a move, quote, would destabilize the permanency of their existing home environment and could be traumatic to the children. League Alert, the ACLU's lead attorney in the suit, said in a statement, quote, the Trump administration's response is a shocking concession that it can't easily find thousands of children it ripped from parents and doesn't even think it's worth the time to locate each of them. Joining us now, ACLU attorney, League Alert. In addition to being the lead attorney in the case, he's also the deputy director of the ACLU's Immigrants' Rights Project. Lee, thanks for joining us. Good to see you.
Thanks for having me.
One of the most stunning parts of this filing is that the administration all but admits that thousands more children may have been separated from their parents at the border. I find it hard to believe in 2019, with all we are able to do, that the government says they can't track these kids down, they can't rejoin them, reunite them with their families. The parents have been, in many cases, expelled. How do you make sense of this?
Yeah, I don't think you can make sense of it. I think you're absolutely right. It is stunning. I think it's stunning in a lot of respects. First of all, we're a year into this litigation, and now we find out, not from the government, but from an internal report, that there may have been thousands of other kids separated. The government's conceding that they're not sure where the kids are, and probably most stunningly, they're saying it's not worth trying to find them, and that it could be even bad for the kids to reunite them with their parents. I mean, that's untenable.
That's a very strange argument, right? The argument that it's in the children's best interest that they are not returned to their parents and that they remain in sponsor homes. Courts in America have not usually held that.
No, absolutely not. I mean, the government is acting as if these are parents who put their kids up for adoption decades ago and now want to reinsert themselves in the lives of these children. These are children who were ripped from their parents' arms, literally, within the last year, 18 months, and now the government's saying, well, maybe the children don't really want to see the parents anymore. I mean, it's a stunning argument for the United States government to say, well, we don't want to dedicate the resources to try to reunite these families we separated, and that it's probably not worth it. I mean, that's a remarkable statement.
We just got an announcement
this hearing
today. We're going to send 3,500 more troops to the border. That could be money that could be used to reunite these children.
Absolutely right. I mean, we need to get our priorities right. And this Thursday, the House Energy and Commerce Committee is going to be holding hearings on family separation. That's an important first hearing on family separation. As you mentioned, there's going to be other hearings. But this one on Thursday, I think, is critical that the members of Congress really press HHS and say, why isn't it worth it? Why can't you find these kids? Why in America are we not going to try and find these children?
So why is this not on the front page of your newspaper? Why are you not hearing about this on the news that is available to you around cable? Why is it not widely disseminated that that there is a memo released from inside the administration that states flatly that the separation of children from their parents as they cross the American border with Mexico is strictly for the purpose of causing suffering for deterrence? Let's talk.
Boy, the way Glenn Miller played.
Songs that made the hit parade.
Guys like us, we had it made.
Those were the days. And you knew when you were there.
Dance for girls and men were men. Mister, we could use a man like Herbert Hoover again.
And we're in session for Tuesday afternoon. We are about to hear the president deliver his slightly delayed State of the Union address this evening. And the New York state prosecutors have subpoenaed apparently just about everything from inside of the Trump inaugural committee. And we have this memo from the Robert Crown Law Library blog at Stanford Law School that presents, and by the way, the link to this, the link to the actual memo itself, along with annotations, is included in the executive session Facebook page. So you can go out there and take a look at that. You can take a look at the memo itself. The first paragraph is instructions to CPB and the ICE to work with the Department of Justice to significantly increase the prosecution of family unit parents when they're encountered at the border. The parents should be prosecuted for illegal entry, which is a misdemeanor, or illegal entry, re-entry, which is a felony. And the minors present with them should be placed in HHS custody as unaccompanied children. The parents would be criminally prosecuted. They would be placed in the custody of the U.S. Marshal to await trial. This would require close coordination with the Department of Justice to ensure there are sufficient prosecutors at the border and sufficient U.S. Marshal's detention space. Because of the large number of violators, not all parents could be criminally prosecuted. However, the increase in prosecutions would be reported by the media and it would have substantial deterrent effect. A public announcement of the policy could be made before implementation. This is the government planning to separate children from their families as they cross the border so they can treat the children as unaccompanied minors. Because the minors will meet the definition of unaccompanied, this is from the memo, of unaccompanied alien child, they have no legal immigration status in the U.S., they have not attained the age of 18, and has no parent or legal guardian in the United States, or no parent or legal guardian in the U.S. is available to provide care in custody. Okay, so they can treat these kids that they took away from their parents as though they were unaccompanied children, unaccompanied, what did they call them, alien child, UACs, to be governmentally abbreviatory. Is that a word? Anyway, so why didn't we hear about this? Is the news just too jammed with other things? Are we too taken up with the nonsense around that this just got crowded out? Let's talk to Mia in St. Petersburg. Mia, good afternoon. You're in executive session this afternoon, and you have the floor.
Terrific. That's sickening, and it turns my stomach. But that's not the reason I called. When the president had his press conference, I guess when the shutdown occurred, the first one, I had CNN on. I was going to watch it on that station. And I put my remote on the coffee table. And as it was being announced, ladies, introducing the president of, I'm cat sitting a friend of mine, so Kitty. He walked over the remote, turned the TV off for me. I could not make this up. So Mr. Pip, I mean, I did, unfortunately, turn it back on, but Mr. Pip knew better, that it would be a waste of time for that first press conference. So I wanted to pass that on.
Yeah, well, the... What do you think? Let me ask you this question. Let's examine this with the proper skepticism, okay? We'll examine this memo and the presentation of it and the revelation and everything with the proper skepticism, and we will start off with, if this is true, what we have outlined at the top of the session, does this reach the level of high crimes and misdemeanors in your estimation?
Oh, hell, plus the child abuse.
Yeah.
I mean, it's downright child abuse that he's doing.
Yeah, That's what I wondered, and I also wonder. I also wonder if there aren't prosecutors in The Hague who are paying attention to what's going on over here.
I hope so, for God's sake. I mean, one of the aspects is that enough that keeps going on and on when you're reading, like, they're doing what? And then it keeps getting worse, and it's just disgusting.
Well, I mean, you know, we had that. We did have that that sit down with John Kelly and Wolf Blitzer, and they detailed some of this. And it sort of just cruised by. I mean, people went, "Oh yeah, John Kelly said that they're doing this as a deterrent." And then it was a couple of weeks ago, or that actually the interview with Kelly was in March of. Let me see, where is that? March 6th of 2017, so almost 2 years ago,
yeah.
Kelly was on cable news saying, "We're doing this as a deterrent. We are taking children from their parents to deter people." Okay,
it's horrible. But the situations are so bad. Their option is to get the hell out of where they're coming from and get a better life for their children.
Well, that's the thing that that I keep coming back to is that these are largely people who are fleeing their homes because of gang violence and government oppression and just plain old fashioned poverty. And
exactly.
And so. And we greet them by taking the families apart, and we do that for a political purpose. You know, not for a legal purpose, but for a political purpose.
Yeah, to inject pain on the parents. It's horrible.
Because we're trying to get people to stop doing that. So... anyway, I just wondered. I was curious to hear from the community how it is that that you react to this. And again, we'll do, like I said, the appropriate skepticism if this is factual.
Yes, and that's the first I've heard of it. So I do appreciate you bringing that to the attention of your listeners.
Yeah, you. And by the way, if you can reach Facebook, you can go to the executive session page on Facebook, and the link to the actual memo itself, which is annotated, is on that. Is in the post for today, so you'll be able. You can actually look at the whole thing. You can look at the post in the Law Library blog, and you can also look at the memo itself.
Terrific! Thank you so much.
Sure enough, thanks. Good to talk to you. We'll talk again.
Okay. Bye.
Sure enough. 813-239-9663 to remind you that these conversations are brought to you by you. This is a community radio station. For 40 years, you have provided yourself with a radio station that brings you the music and the news and the information and the programming that you want to hear. That's how WMNF has been sustained. That's how you have sustained WMNF. Starting tomorrow, we are going to be talking about money a lot, and we are going to be inviting you to continue to support your community radio station. And by the way, it is through, in part through the pledge drives that the station determines what it is that you want to hear. And programming changes are made every so often so that we can adjust your radio station to your interests. 813-239-9663. Hugh in Dover, good afternoon. You are in executive session, and you have the floor.
Hi, John. John, my question to you is there any information about how the children were documented, you know, fingerprints, a picture, mugshot, and the person that brought them to the border, so that in the event that someone were to try to find the child, that there would be a semblance of a paper trail?
I don't know, Hugh, but here is what the administration is saying. We aren't sure we can find these kids, and we're not sure it's worth trying. And furthermore, they assert that finding them and returning them to their parents would be traumatic for the children.
and they use the word parent, or did they use, you know, guardian or person?
Well, it's a, I don't know. They have to look, I don't know exactly what language has been used, but they're talking about, at any rate, they are talking about whether or not they will exert the necessary energy to find the families that these children were taken from at the border.
Right. Well, I mean, in my mind, the two worst case scenarios would be the one that you're proposing, child taken away from a parent and under no pretense planning to give that child back to the parent. And then the other worst case scenario, child snatched from somebody else other than a family member, brought to America, you know, as possible money source that
yeah.
they plan to pawn the kid off or sell it into prostitution. That would be even worse.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't doubt that there is trafficking of that sort. There is trafficking of that sort, I believe it was in Manatee County. Just a little while ago, there was a very, very disturbing story about human trafficking. So I know that it goes on, and I do not think, judging by what I've seen, that that's the predominant reason that these children are being moved. I think these children are being moved because their parents are trying to keep them from being raped and killed.
Right. I just hope that they're cataloging, you know, just meticulous details about, even from the children, what they remember, what their home looked like or where they came from, if they even know their own address or a phone number.
Exactly.
Or a relative.
Well, see, that's the thing.
Really,
the government has apparently just come out and flat stated, we don't think we can find these people.
Well, we have to try, though, and they need to quit making statements like nobody cares.
Yeah.
There are people that care.
They're about to send another 3,500 troops to the border.
I wonder if they sent
3,500 people in search of these kids, and they spent the money that they're going to spend in sending and maintaining troops at the border on finding these kids and their parents and putting them back together. I wonder if there wouldn't be a somewhat higher level of success.
Well, if there are busloads of these people already making their way into Florida, I don't see any reason why they can't take a busload of them and take them to Colorado Springs, to Lowry Air Force Base, and give them an ID card and maybe some type of a meal card. You know, these kids have got to be housed somewhere, but, you know, at least start the identification process
yep.
so that we can follow who they are and where they're going.
I don't know of any reports of busloads of these people being headed into Florida, but anyway, listen, I very much appreciate talking to you, Hugh. I always enjoy talking to you, and
we will
talk again, sir.
Awesome.
Sure.
See you later.
Bye-bye. All right. We'll be back. Support for WMNF comes from our members and Happy Feet Plus. Since 1985, Happy Feet Plus has been providing healthy footwear solutions, including brands such as Birkenstock, Finn Comfort, and Kenco Massage Sandals. Styles and selections at happyfeet.com.
We got black coaches falling away by the wayside. I'm getting sick and tired of that nonsense.
Join Sunday Forum and our esteemed panelists, ESPN commentator Tiffany Green, sports management professor Dr. Janelle Wells, coach Javon Liu, and more on February 9th, 1 to 3 p.m. as we discuss racism in sports. Meet us at the American Legion, 3810 West Kennedy Boulevard, Tampa, to support our winter fun drive and have a chance to win a football signed by Tampa Bay Buccaneer players. The event is free, but online donations are encouraged.
WMNF stays on the air because of listeners like you who are kind enough to donate. Our winter pledge drive starts tomorrow, goes through the 13th, but you can get your support in early and feel really good. Go to WMNF.org or call 813-238-8001, and thanks. All right, back to the conversation. We've been talking about the administration policy of separating children at the border, which was a huge conversation back around the midterms, and was a huge conversation, and it sort of faded away. And then a couple of weeks ago, apparently, Senator Jeff Merkley, a Democrat of Oregon, released a document to NBC News revealing that the Trump administration intended to, and this is a quote from the senator, traumatize children and intentionally create a humanitarian crisis at the border. This information was posted on the Robert Crown Law Library blog at Stanford Law School on January 18th. So why did you hear about this? If not, why not? Jim in St. Pete, good afternoon. You're in executive session and you have the floor.
Hey. So there was a group of about 2,500 that they eventually were able to whittle back down to like 130 somehow. And these people, these kids were from before that. They were taken somewhat secretly before that, is my understanding of it. Now we're just finding out. And why they, you know, why they started documenting them so they could find them eventually, I don't know. But I think
apparently they didn't, Jim, because they can't find them.
Well, I know. I'm saying the ones before.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
They were not. And it was done on purpose, I'm quite sure. The ones, you know, there was, when the stink started, they could start finding them somehow, because they somehow, anyway, when we take back our government, it's probably going to take the FBI to find them if anyone could ever find them. But what I think is going on, I thought from the beginning, with Sessions involved and with, what's his name, Stephen Milwald, I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of these kids didn't end up in, you know, what you would call good Christian homes.
Mm.
By some kind of, you know, arrangement with some nonprofit that, you know, took care of things. And, you know, so who knows? They may not want you to find.
I don't know. There was a lot of speculation about that. And I even heard of cases, or I heard of one case where the someone showed up to foster one of the kids, and that person was arrested because they didn't have documentation.
Oh, great. Well, so, there's so much of that going on.
Yeah.
And they probably, you know, they're probably nonprofits that turn people away because they weren't Christians. You know?
Yeah, I don't know about that. Go ahead.
You can somehow imagine with Sessions involved that something like that could pretty easily happen.
Oh, I can imagine many, many things that could conceivably happen. my speculative capacity is quite enormous.
And there's only one other thing I wanted to say, that I was listening to the TV this morning, and they're talking about the president. They're talking about how, you know, what kind of speech he's going to give and all this stuff. And, you know, there's this supposedly move to moderation among the Democratic Party, and the politicians come on and they say stuff like, well, we have to, you know, we have to somehow, you know, find the middle ground or whatever, you know, cliche, for the good of the country.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they say, for the good of the country. This guy's a criminal bully, you know. You should never make a deal with anybody like that, but they just can't bring themselves to, you know, not do it. They just have to make some kind of deal for the good of the country.
Hmm.
If they really wanted to do something for the good of the country, they would get him out of office.
I,
all their energy should go to that.
There you go. That, my friend, is a concise concise exposition of a viewpoint, and I thank you very much.
Sure, see you later.
Sure enough. 813-239-9663 on the day before we start the pledge drive. We are going to be deeply involved for the next four sessions in raising the money that you and I contribute that keeps our radio station hot. And that keeps the programming on that you want, and that makes the changes in the programming so that the stuff you don't want isn't on anymore. 813-239-9663. Tom in St. Petersburg, good afternoon. You're in executive session, and you have the floor.
Hey, man, good afternoon. Good to be back. I was on hold, I was going to go into the whole how Donald Trump on June 20th, I believe, of 2018, did sign the executive order to end the separations of families. I was going to talk about that, but as I was on hold, two like blockbuster reports broke while I was on hold. I just want to share those real quick.
Just like that, huh?
Literally in the last hour.
Yeah, I hear you.
So one is that the CNN tip-off of the Roger Stone raid that occurred. So Lindsey Graham was investigating it, and their report concluded that, in fact, CNN was given a copy of Mr. Stone's indictment prior to the filing, and it was unsealed, and that at 4:58 a.m., CNN film crew arrived at their Stone residence to record on live air the arrest and the detainment of Roger Stone, which is actually witness tampering because it goes into, you know, prejudice of making Roger Stone look like a criminal to the potential jurors.
Well, I don't know that you have to go very far to make somebody look like a criminal when they've been indicted and their house has been raided, and two of their houses have been raided by the FBI and they've been arrested. I don't think you have to go very much farther than that to make somebody look like a criminal.
Well, no, there's actually many, many, that's not accurate, and I understand what you're saying, but there's many cases that have been actually overturned in court because of the simple fact that, of what we're talking about, where how CNN aired it and then displayed it. It's literally been overturned in court of witness.
So they consider that to be a kind of a prejudicial sort of thing?
Of course it is, because now the people were shown one viewpoint of FBI agents raiding a house, detaining him, making him look like he's, you know, public enemy number one.
And well, you know the reason that the FBI mounted that degree of force to do that that raid, don't you? Roger Stone threatened witnesses with death.
Okay. Now, see, this is what you're going on, but you might want to read the report.
Oh, I'm very eager. I'm really interested that you have brought this to us. What's the other story?
Okay, well, just remember, the same people who are telling you that that's why the FBI did that are the same people who tipped off FBI illegally.
That's not necessarily true, because the people that outlined the procedure for that kind of apprehension were the people at Lawfare.
We can debate tactics all day long, because...
No, it's not tactics. That's just where the information came from. That's all.
Okay. They also said that they didn't give CNN a tip prior to this.
Yeah, I don't know. But Lawfare may not have known about it, and I don't know. And, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing how that plays out, because it is a very interesting story.
All right, yeah, and I wouldn't trust those guys as far as I could throw them, so, and I got bad shoulders. But the other story is that BuzzFeed's Deep Throat source has been revealed in the past hour, the one that's brought all our, you know, famous stories everyone has 24-hour news cycle syndrome over. His name is Felix Slater. He's the crook-turned-asset-slash-informant that released the P-Gate dossier. He was based in the Clinton administration.
Wait a minute. Okay, wait a minute. Stop, because you've waded into some very interesting stuff here. Where are you getting this information?
Which one? All of it?
Yeah, where are the sources for what you're talking about?
Okay, Paul Sperry is how I learned about it. Paul Sperry, I think, is quoting, let me see, let me hold up. Oh, well, I don't really like this, but he's quoting Gateway Pundit.
Okay.
So So I'm not a fan of Gateway Pundit, but that's who he's quoting.
Okay, and the other thing about and I think the name you're looking for is Felix Sater. I'm not sure.
Yeah, excuse me. Yeah, Felix Sater. Correct.
Yeah,
he's the asset. You know, the crook turned asset informant that the Clinton administration and trained and was also handled by Loretta Lynch and Mueller's attack.
Okay, now I'm interested in your language. Where are you getting this language from?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, from what source did you get this particular piece of information?
No, I'm saying the breaking news is coming
from where?
A pundit. I'm telling you that Felix Sater, this is all breaking news right now, is the deep throat source for the BuzzFeed's article.
I understand. Okay? I understand that's what you're saying, Tom. What I'm interested in is who is saying that Sater is the deep throat.
Okay, well, man, I was just trying to tell you some breaking news.
Oh, no, it's great, but we look at where this stuff comes from, because it's worth looking at where it comes from. See what I mean?
Sater went on record, so that's what it's saying. Anyway, I recommend everyone check it out, and once again, the whole point of why I'm bringing this stuff up, it was the Gateway Pundit. Yeah, there it is. It is the
okay.
So both of those
broke on the Gateway Pundit.
I don't know about the first one. Once again, that's just something I saw on Drudge.
Oh, okay. Oh, on Drudge.
So, that's coming out of literally Lindsey Graham.
Okay.
The chronological order of Roger Stone's arrest released by the Honorable, I don't really call him Honorable, but Lindsey Graham.
Lindsey is a very interesting man.
Yeah, but the whole point is, and this is the thing that I always try to get into people, is that this instant outrage society that is being force-fed to us by the mainstream media and this culture. I just want everyone to be like relaxed, like I keep on saying, and let investigations unfold. And like most times, the truth is probably not going to be revealed. But I think the corruption is so far bigger than Trump and so far bigger than the Democrats or Republicans. And on that note, before I go, I just want to say, I hope Howard Schultz does run. And I hope he runs as an independent, because I am so sick and tired of the establishment quo in this country. It's disgusting. I think if you lift a rock, you'll see corruption in D.C.
All right, so, Tom, one vote for Schultz.
Yep. Okay.
Thanks a lot, Tom. I appreciate your call, and I appreciate you being willing to look through your sources for us. Thank you very much.
Yeah, of course. Of course,
Dicker. Sure enough. 813-239-9663. We will be right back. Have a cool Aloha shirt that everyone just raves about? Sign up for the Yucapalooza Hawaiian Shirt Contest. It takes place at 11:30 a.m. at Yucapalooza. Registration starts 10 a.m. Saturday at the Florida State Fair Special Events Center. More at floridastatefair.com. And support for WMNF comes from our members in Live Nation, presenting Interpol at the Duke Energy Center for the Arts Mahaffey Theater in St. Petersburg on May 5th. 2019. Tickets are available at themahaffey.com. And down the back stretch we go as we wind up the Tuesday session of executive session here on WMNF. This is 88.5 FM community radio from West Central Florida, and you are in executive session with open conversation, an open forum where we are discussing your executive branch of your United States government, because after all, you own them, not the other way around. Susan and Anna Maria, good afternoon. You're in executive session, and you have the floor.
Yeah, hey, John, how are you?
So far, not bad.
Not
could
not
go
bad.
Either way, you know.
Yeah, nothing hit the fan yet. But anyway, when I think about those children, I have two emotions. My blood boils, and my heart breaks for them. And I wanted to ask you, what do you think would happen if our northern border, if they did the same thing and started coming over? Do you think Canada would tolerate that? I mean, it's kidnapping. It's kidnapping.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I know that it's a problem. It really is. It's a problem. Central America and apparently now boiling over into South America is, to coin a phrase, a mess. And there are gangs and drug cartels. The governments themselves are corrupt. They're oppressive. The gangs try to recruit the young men. They use the threat of rape for their sisters. It's awful. And these people are fleeing.
And they have very little options, John. And the thing is, they don't have to take them because we have you can apply for asylum. So why don't we do it old school, like it's supposed to be, like the law is supposed to be, okay, you're all together and you apply for asylum and they just say no and turn all of you away.
Well, here's how that works. People who are seeking asylum, according to international law and American law, are permitted to cross the border at any point. They are not restricted to border entry points. And they're required to turn themselves over to authorities and present themselves as asylum seekers. Then they have something called a credible fear hearing, which is they go before an official, a magistrate, a judge, somebody that sits with these things, and they go through a hearing where they tell the officials why they fled. And then that's when their status, they're either granted refugee status or not.
Right, and then that sounds civil. This is so barbaric.
Yeah.
You just tell them, okay, you pled your case, and we find validity. So, you know, okay, you get asylum, you and your family, or they don't.
Yeah.
But this separating their, you know, these children, I mean... And they have no recourse. I mean, what's their government going to do? But like I said, with Canada, they wouldn't tolerate that. It's like kidnapping. They'd want their citizens back.
Well, you know? We are, and it is, in my estimation, especially heinous because it's done for political show. The whole thing is done as some sort of drama to... gin up support for this wall that was originally a memory device to remind Donald Trump to talk about immigration in the campaign.
Right. But the families are paying for this political move.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not something that oh, okay, we'll get over it. I mean, that's your children.
Well, and then can you imagine, the justification for not going to find these children and making the supreme effort to reunite them with their families is that they've been in foster care and now removing them from their foster situation would be traumatic for them.
That's absurd. That's totally absurd.
I think if you took that in front of a judge in the United States, you would probably end up, well, you might end up in jail. I don't know.
I know. Who knows? I mean, you know, we don't know. It's just a free-for-all here.
Yeah.
You know, nothing applies anymore.
Yep.
And it's just so sad. And there's no way. And they don't, like, you know, they said, who cares? Well, the parents care. The families care.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, see, that's a part of my question is that you have hit on the immediacy of the horror of this for the families. And this happened 3 weeks ago. This memo, this whole thing was posted up, and I never heard of it until just it was yesterday, I guess it was. I was scrolling down through somebody's Twitter feed and happened upon this tweet that included a link to this Robert Crown Law Library blog at Stanford where this memo was included.
Oh.
And I never heard of it before. Did you?
No. I didn't hear about it till today on the show.
So, you know, now the crassness of doing this for deterrence, of deliberately initiating a policy of separating families and children so that you can treat the children a certain way as unaccompanied alien children because you took them from their parents.
Right. And what do you, or you know, that's the thing with Trump, too. How do you know how people feel? Oh, nobody cares. Yeah, you don't care.
Well, but, he cared. You know, the administration cares about something, but I don't think it's these children.
Well, let me put it this way. I'm just going to throw it out there, John.
Be careful.
I will. I promise. They're brown. I mean, the writing's on the wall. They're brown.
Yeah, you're not the first person who's made that observation. Listen, thank you,
sure.
Susan. I'm glad to talk with you, and I hope we get to talk again.
Well, John, have a good day.
Sure enough. 813-239-9663. As we are in the middle of the lightning round, stay around here after the session for It's the Music. Nancy C is in the studio. I don't know what she's got planned, but you should hang around because it's going to be fun to watch and listen to. And she is going to take you through the afternoon and deliver you onto the traffic jam. And the traffic jam will accommodate your traverse as you go home this afternoon. So let's go see who we're going to talk to. I think that, we're going to talk to Rudy because, Rudy, you are very patient. Welcome to executive session. You have the floor.
Thank you very much. I think this whole thing undermines the whole national emergency, doesn't it?
You know, it would be if the measures that were proposed were actually effective in addressing it, but they're not.
One of the criteria is that it's supposed to be unexpected, and like this memo states, it's premeditated.
Yeah, exactly.
You have an unexpected emergency when you created it.
Yeah, it's hard to. I think you're right. I think it's hard to argue for something being unexpected when you planned on it a year and a half in advance.
And not only that, but I think the mainstream media should be called on that.
Yeah, I wonder about that. I wonder about that. As a matter of fact, Craig is a deeply experienced newsman. And when I walked into the office in the pre-production meeting this afternoon to talk with him about this, he looked at the material and he went, "Where did this come from and how come I haven't heard about it?" And I told him where it came from, and as to why we haven't heard about it, I don't know. It mystifies me. I have no idea why this isn't everywhere in our news cycle.
Well, I hope that this is true, that the Democrats use the rebuttal tonight.
I don't know. I am interested to hear what Ms. Abrams has to say in response to Donald Trump's State of the Union address, and that'll be, you know, because I'm interested in the tone of her politics. I just want to hear more about what she has to say. And
a pretty big shoe to drop, don't you?
I don't know if, and I don't know if this is going to be something that'll show up or not, but I can't imagine. I mean, if this isn't the fulfillment of high crimes and misdemeanors, I don't know what might be.
Well, not only that, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, isn't it?
It's what?
A self-fulfilling prophecy.
Well, it is, in my estimation, and I am not a legal anything except an opinionated observer, this is the kind of thing that comes under international law as humanitarian crime.
Yeah.
So
how does this work out that you know, and I heard your couple callers ago talking about everything, you should take a chill pill, let the investigations go. We got stuff like this going on, and you got the mainstream media not doing anything about this. It's not coming out. And we're supposed to take a chill pill?
Yeah, I don't. I think we are past the time when it's. I think we are past the chill time. I think we are into the domain called we need to get this something done. I mean, we can track a piece of meat from a slaughterhouse to a supermarket, and we can't track a child.
Exactly.
You know, that's ridiculous.
Exactly.
That's ridiculous. Listen, Rudy, I'm glad we got to talk. I appreciate you being in here in the session this afternoon. We'll get to talk again.
Thank you.
Sure enough. Mitchell, we're not going to get to talk with you this afternoon out in Bartow. Call us back, and we will talk again. Right now, I am going to remind you to stay around for Nancy C. and It's the Music, and invite you to come back tomorrow. We're going to be seeking your funding to keep your radio station on the air as you have for 40 years, the most impossible business model ever conceived, and always keep in mind at this very juncture that sometimes computers turn off, and when they do,
it has to start somewhere.
There you go.
It has to start sometime. What better place than here?
This is WMNF Tampa.